Please join me in the scripture lesson. The reading today is from the Old Testament, Psalm 126. Now, you're going to encounter a word that I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I had to look it up. Maybe you do, but it's in one of your responses. It's called Negeb, or that can be a V on the end. And I thought, being a teacher, you might like to know what that is. It's a huge desert area in Israel. And according to Safari, it takes up more than half of Israel. So it's very dry, semi-arid desert. So now you know, Negeb or Negev. Okay. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word. And Father, we thank you that your word has sustained generation after generation after generation of people. And so, Lord, as we look to your word this day, we pray that you might transform us, that we might grow closer to you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning actually is just going to be the one scripture passage, John 14:1-6. Please stand in honor of God's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many of you have ever had a stress test? Wow. I've had one too. Stress tests are done to determine how well one's heart is functioning. Cardiologists conduct a stress test to see if there is heart trouble due to arteries being blocked or due to arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats, some abnormally fast, some abnormally slow, and some rapid and irregular. Today we're going to take a stress test. No, it will not involve any treadmills. For we're going to test the strength of our spiritual hearts. In this passage of scripture today, the very first verse says, let not your hearts be troubled. The disciples had just received disturbing news. Jesus tells them in the previous verses, in verses 33 through 36 in the previous chapter, that he will be with them only a little longer. Where he is going, they couldn't come. They would follow later. It is also in these passages of scripture where Jesus tells Peter he would deny him. So it is in the context of these verses of scripture that Jesus tells them to let not your hearts be troubled. Their hearts were troubled with anxiety for today. They're wondering who's going to betray him one would deny him. They're going to have to face daily life without Jesus. They would lose their friend and teacher walking with them in the flesh. And then they are also facing the uncertainty of the future, the uncertainty about eternity. They didn't know where Jesus is going. How can they know the way? And when we really think about it, aren't those the two places that stress our spiritual hearts? The anxiety for today and the uncertainty of the future. So now let's begin the stress test. What makes you anxious? The treadmill is increasing and increasing and increasing. And if any of you know what that's like when you've taken that test, you know you have to get moving faster and faster and faster. And so what really makes you anxious? Is it facing surgery, battling an illness, living alone after your spouse has died, stress at work, having your schedule get messed up, disappointments in life, family problems, tests at school, the presidential election of 2016, financial problems, past sins that you can't forget, problems in your marriage, in your family, with your children, older parents with health concerns. You can probably add to that list something that causes you to be anxious. As those disciples faced the anxiety for today, Jesus, the renowned cardiologist, offered them these precious words of peace. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Brennan Manning tells the story of John Kavanaugh, who went to work for 3 months at the House of the Dying in Calcutta, India. He went not only to give help, but to receive it. He was seeking a clear answer as to how to best spend the rest of his life. The first morning there, he met with Mother Teresa. And she asked, "What can I do for you?" And Kavanaugh asked her to pray for him. And she asked, "Well, what do you want me to pray for?" And he voiced a request that he has long been burdened about and had come halfway across the world seeking the answer for, "Pray for clarity, that I might have clarity." To that simple but sincere request, she firmly said, "No. No, I will not do that." When he asked her why, she said, "Clarity is the last thing you are clinging to and you must let go of." Kavanaugh commented that she had always seemed to have the clarity he longed for. She laughed. "I've never had clarity. What I've always had is trust. So I will pray that you will trust God." And isn't that what you and I need? Simply to trust the Lord. We don't need to have everything made perfectly clear, although we would like it that way. We just need to trust. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, "He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And Isaiah 26, 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Well, now let us proceed with the stress test. The second place where our spiritual hearts get stressed is the uncertainty of the future. And the treadmill is not only increasing in speed, the grade is getting steeper and steeper and steeper. How will my life end? Will I be taken care of in the future? What happens as I get older? What will happen to me when I die? The uncertainty of the future. As the disciples faced the uncertainty of the future, Jesus offered the disciples these precious words of reassurance. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. There's a mansion prepared for us when we die through faith in Jesus Christ. It's one of the most powerful, wonderful passages as we face death in life. Jesus also offered these words that give us the certainty of that mansion prepared for us when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Because Thomas is like, well, how do we know this? We don't get it. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is not one way among many. Jesus is the way. And we live in a world where we will be told that there are many ways. But Scripture is very clear. Jesus is the way, not a way. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm driving and I do have a tendency to get lost from time to time and need to stop and ask directions. And if you're in a strange location and, you know, you ask somebody from directions who's lived there all their life, well, they'll say, go this way. And they say it rather quickly and they think you understand all of that. And then you have that look on your face like I'm just as lost as I was before I asked you. But it's when that individual say, you know what, just follow me. I'll take you. And that's happened to me on more than one occasion. That's a wonderful blessing when somebody will get in their car and say, just follow me, I'll show you how to get there. Well, Jesus doesn't give us the directions on how to get to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. And he says, follow me, I'll take you there. And he tells us he is the truth. John uses truth 25 times in his gospel and links it closely with Jesus, who is truth. Through Jesus, the truth of the Father is revealed in the flesh. To know Jesus is to know our Heavenly Father. Jesus not only conveyed truth in his teaching, he embodied the truth. He is the reality of all that God promises. That wonderful passage from Colossians, the beginning of Colossians, talks about the supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Those are beautiful words about who Jesus is, the supremacy. He is the truth, and he is the life. Jesus is life here and now, and Jesus is life in heaven. Eternal life begins right now When we say yes to Jesus in our life, we're already experiencing eternal life. Death is just the passageway into heaven, but eternal life begins when we say yes to Jesus. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." The fountain of life gives us a sense of fresh, cleansing water that gives life to those who are spiritually thirsty. Jesus spoke of himself as living water that would quench our thirst forever and give us eternal life. A middle-aged woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she asked, "Is my time up?" God said, "No, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live." Upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift, liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the best of it. And after her last operation, she was released from the hospital. And while crossing the street on her way home, she was killed by an ambulance. Arriving in front of God, she demanded, "I thought you said I have another 49 years to live. Why didn't you pull me out from the path of the ambulance?" And God replied, "I didn't recognize you." Now, we might find humor in that little anecdote, but the question we need to ask ourselves is this: beyond the outward appearances, does the Lord really know my heart? Have I given my heart to Jesus? Because when we have given our hearts to Jesus, we have the best heart doctor, a renowned cardiologist, and nothing can stress our hearts that he can't fix. No anxiety, no uncertainty. For Jesus can open up the blockages to allow the Holy Spirit to flow freely through us, reminding us of his wonderful presence and his wonderful promises in Scripture. Jesus can control the irregular beats of our spiritual hearts when they speed up to the point where we are anxiety-ridden, and to the point where they have slowed down, where we don't care, and we become complacent and indifferent. Jesus can cause the irregular, out-of-control fast beats to beat strongly and regularly with the certainty of life to come, where Jesus has prepared a special place for each and every one of us. The good news is we can always pass the spiritual heart stress test with Jesus as our cardiologist. Do you need an appointment to visit your heart doctor, Jesus, today? The one who is the way and the truth and the life. And give to him the burden that is upon your heart, that you might live freely, joyfully, and with incredible peace that passes understanding, as only he can give. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for this wonderful passage of Scripture, where you give troubled disciples assurance that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can find our home in you, because you take us to heaven. Help us to trust in you. Help us to share others with others about you, of how you are the way to eternal life. And you are the one who here and now helps us during troubled, anxiety-ridden moments and you assure us of an incredible future ahead. Help us to trust in you. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. At this time, I invite those of you who would desire to come forward for laying on of hands and anointing with oil and prayer. If there is something that perhaps is burdening your heart today, that you need to give it over to God, I invite you to come. Or if there's something that you would like to pray for someone else, I invite you to do so at this time.